Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw and her guests as they discuss cosmic creating and the path to reclaiming our power as cosmic creators.
Library computer, data being received.
To go where too few have gone before. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, I'm known as the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 9th of May 2020 and the title of today's show is Boom Week, Flynn Case Dropped, Transcripts Released. So those are the key topics I'm going to be covering today. I'm also going to throw in a little bit about the latest on COVID-19 and also about the censorship that is really ramping up. And we know what that means, that the social media platforms like Facebook and YouTube and Twitter are trying to block anything supporting Trump and also anything related to the Q movement. No surprise, really. So we've got a lot of Q posts again this week, a massive amount, actually. I'm not going to be able to get anywhere near covering them all. So I'm just going to pick out a few gems for you. And again, not done sequentially, but split into the different topics. Now, it was last Saturday that Q dropped, it was drop number 4072, which basically just said boom week. So that was leading us to believe that this week was going to be really exciting, and it certainly turned out to be. And then he repeated something similar about boom week in drop 4119. Now, boom week, I think, relates to both the fact that the Department of Justice dropped the Flynn case, which came as no surprise, really, and also the release of the transcripts, which are from the House impeachment inquiry. So let's start by taking a quick look at the situation regarding COVID-19, and I'm going to start with the Q drop 4075. CDC equates COVID-19 hospitalizations to seasonal flu. And this is a Twitter link to Mitchell V11, which in itself links to a Gateway Pundit article, which says, there it is, CDC equates coronavirus hospitalizations to seasonal flu and finally admits it's much less dangerous for children. And Q says underneath the Twitter link, 2020 presidential election. So it's really confirming that all this scaremongering about COVID-19 and the shutdown is really about impacting the election. As I've said in previous shows, they're just trying with all their might to prevent Trump from winning re-election. And it's interesting this week, Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, signed an executive order which was basically going to be sending everyone in the state mail-in voting ballots. So the Democrats are really pushing hard for this mail-in voting because it's the easiest way to rig the election results. And there are statistics showing millions of mail-in votes that were lost or not counted. And of course, if they can't win by any other means, they'll do it through cheating. But that's nothing new for the Democrat Party, I think you'll agree. This article is actually published on the 2nd of May. And again, I'm not going to read all of it because I'll run out of time on the show. But it's really showing how the mortality rate and infection rate started out really high. In January, the CDC terrorized Americans by claiming the Wuhan coronavirus had a mortality rate of 2.3% at its epicenter. The CDC compared the coronavirus mortality rate of 2.3% to the seasonal flu mortality rate of 0.1%. 2 weeks later, World Health Organization leader Tedros Ghebreyesus sparked a global panic when he claimed the COVID-19 had a 3.4% mortality rate compared to the annual estimated seasonal flu mortality rate of 0.1%. And then later on in the article, it says, on Friday, the CDC equated the Wuhan coronavirus to the seasonal flu. The COVID-19 hospitalization rates are similar to those in the 65 and older category during recent high severity influenza seasons. And the COVID-19 hospitalizations for children 17 and under is much lower than the seasonal flu hospitalization rates during recent influenza seasons. The COVID-19 is less dangerous to children than a typical influenza. And it's interesting because we've seen a lot of things coming out this week. We've seen business people and arrested. The woman who tried to open her hair salon was arrested and actually sentenced to jail time. We've also had people just walking out, getting stopped and arrested. And we've also seen a massive amount of control in terms of having to wear masks and so on. I personally will not wear a mask. There's a lot of doctors coming out and saying that it's actually unhealthy to wear a mask because you're breathing in carbon dioxide. And in fact, there were two children in China who died when they were out exercising and were wearing masks. And there are also a lot of doctors coming out and basically shooting down the mainstream media narrative about this coronavirus and really challenging why this country and many countries around the world are locked down by something that isn't, in fact, less of a problem than seasonal flu. So it's really, again, about reading between the lines and looking for the hidden agenda. And shutting down the country is being pushed by particularly Democrat governors. They're, you know, keep extending the shutdown in their states and really taking draconian steps to keep people inside and not working and so on. And Q actually talks about this, and he refers the Q followers to the legal position of this, and these governors are actually going in against the Constitution by taking people's rights away. And there is no justification, even in times of national emergency, to actually take away people's constitutional rights. So it's really up to the people to challenge these governors. And there are many protests now happening around the country and in other countries as well by people who just want to get back to work and get back to normality. In Q-Drop 4076, the drop is entitled "For Democrats, COVID-19 is all about keeping the country closed and winning the upcoming election." And of course, and in the drop, Q says, what would have happened if POTUS challenged the COVID-19 narrative from the beginning? Sometimes you can't tell the public the truth. You must show them. Who benefits the most? Why are D's, Democrats, solely focused on closure, in square brackets, retaining, and vote by mail? They do not care about your well-being. You are simply in the way. This is about regaining power. Self-preservation, every asset deployed, win by any means necessary, win or die. Just a couple of other drops relating to this. 4084, deprivation of rights under colour of law. And it's a link to justice.gov, deprivation rights under colour law. And Q says, digest, know your rights. And 4085, Florida business owner cleared of charges for opening his non-essential business during COVID. I'm just going to read a couple of other drop titles. I don't have time to go into all the detail, but if you go to qmap.pub, you can find them yourself. 4090, why are Democrat officials releasing criminals and arresting those who defy the COVID-19 lockdown? That's a link to twitter.com Daily Caller. The next one, 4091, new monitoring technology to issue alerts when people violate social distancing rules. And Q says underneath, ready to stand up. And there's a link to another Twitter post, Tech Review. So let's move on to the Flynn case. And this is an article by Associated Press, apnews.com. And the title is AP Exclusive, Justice Department Dropping Flynn's Criminal Case. The Justice Department on Thursday said it is dropping the criminal case against President Donald Trump's first national security advisor, Michael Flynn, abandoning a prosecution that became a rallying cry for Trump and his supporters in attacking the FBI's Russia investigation. The move is a stunning reversal for one of the signature cases brought by special counsel Robert Mueller. It comes even though prosecutors for the last 3 years had maintained that Flynn had lied to the FBI about his conversations with the Russian ambassador in a January 2017 interview. Flynn himself admitted as much and became a key cooperator for Mueller as he investigated ties between Russia and the 2016 Trump campaign. In court documents being filed Thursday, the Justice Department said it's dropping the case after a considered review of all the facts and circumstances of this case, including newly discovered and disclosed information. The documents were obtained by the Associated Press. The Justice Department said it had concluded that Flynn's interview by the FBI was untethered to and unjustified by the FBI's counterintelligence investigation into Mr. Flynn, and that the interview on January 24, 2017 was, in quotes, conducted without any legitimate investigative basis, end quote. The U.S. attorney reviewing the Flynn case, Jeff Jensen, recommended the move to Attorney General William Barr last week and formalized the recommendation in a document this week. Through the course of my review of General Flynn's case, and this is in quotes, I concluded the proper and just course was to dismiss the case, Jensen said in a statement. I briefed Attorney General Barr on my findings, advised him on these conclusions, and he agreed. The decision is certain to be embraced by Trump, who has relentlessly tweeted about the case, and last week pronounced Flynn exonerated. And energized supporters who have taken up the retired Army Lieutenant General as something of a cause celebre. But it may also add to Democratic concerns that Attorney General William Barr is excessively loyal to the President and could be a distraction for a Justice Department that for months has sought to focus on crimes arising from the coronavirus. The Justice Department's action comes amid an internal review into the handling of the case and an aggressive effort by Flynn's lawyers to challenge the basis for the prosecution. The lawyers cited newly disclosed FBI emails and notes last week to allege that Flynn was entrapped into lying when agents interviewed him at the White House days after Trump's inauguration. Though none of the documents appear to undercut the central allegation that Flynn had lied to the FBI, Trump last week pronounced him exonerated. The decision is the latest dramatic turn in a years-old case full of twists and turns. In recent months, his attorneys have levelled a series of allegations about the FBI's actions and asked to withdraw his guilty plea. A judge has rejected most of the claims and not ruled on others, including the bid to revoke the plea. The decision comes as Barr has increasingly challenged the Russia investigation, saying in a television interview last month that it was started without any basis. In February, he overruled a decision by prosecutors in the Roger Stone case in favour of a more lenient recommended sentence for the longtime Trump friend. Now, I must say, the exoneration of General Flynn, or at least the dropping of the case, came as no surprise to me. In fact, when I went through the released emails and the handwritten notes last week, I felt like that was going to be the key to actually ending this case against General Flynn, because obviously the whole thing was rigged to try and find a crime, not to investigate one. And as the article said, this has sparked a reaction quite typically from the Democrats, accusing William Barr, A.G. Barr, as being politically biased. There's an article on Breitbart.com, and it says, Nancy Pelosi, Barr dropped Flynn charges to cover up for Trump. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi reacted angrily to the Department of Justice dropping its criminal case against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn Thursday, saying Attorney General William Barr's politicization of justice knows no bounds. I'm not going to read all the article because there are others I want to cover later, but it's fairly typical that, this would come from Pelosi and from others. I mean, Schiff has been out there on the attack on Twitter and all the other top names in this whole Russia Spygate crossfire hurricane operation. Now, very interestingly, this is an article from WashingtonExaminer.com. Mueller prosecutor Brandon Van Grack withdraws from Flynn case amid a firestorm of criticism. Interesting that he should resign from this investigation just at the point that General Flynn is cleared, or at least the case is dropped. A former top prosecutor for Robert Mueller's special counsel investigation abruptly withdrew from the case against retired Lieutenant General Michael Flynn. Brandon Van Grack, a special assistant U.S. attorney and the chief of the Foreign Agents Registration Act unit at the Justice Department, submitted a notice of withdrawal to the U.S. District Court for the District of Columbia on Thursday. A reason for his withdrawal was not given. Van Grack leaves the case facing rising criticism from Flynn's legal team and allies of President Trump, who believe he did not comply with the judge's order to produce all evidence in the government's possession that is favourable to defendant and material either to defendant's guilt or punishment. Trump has said he is considering a pardon for his former national security advisor, and late last month he said he would consider bringing Flynn back into his administration, noting he was essentially exonerated. Several documents have been released in recent weeks, part of a Justice Department review by Jeffrey Jensen, the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri, stating that Van Grack did not inform the court about or provide to Flynn's defense team. These include FBI records that suggest now-fired FBI agent Peter Strzok and the FBI's leadership stopped the Bureau from closing its investigation into Flynn in early January 2017, after investigators had uncovered no derogatory information on him. There were also emails from later that month showing how Strzok, along with then FBI lawyer Lisa Page and several others, sought out ways to continue investigating Flynn, including by deploying the Logan Act. Flynn's defense team, led by former federal prosecutor Sidney Powell, argued in October that the information she was seeking was Brady material, referring to the Supreme Court decision in Brady versus Maryland, requiring prosecutors to turn over exculpatory evidence. Brady's mandate is fundamental to due process and crucial to ensure that prosecutors fulfill their obligation to seek justice rather than convictions, Powell said. Van Graat rejected this argument. It's a fishing expedition in hopes of advancing conspiracy theories related to the US government's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, Van Graat told the court last year. In January, Powell claimed a report on the FBI's Russian investigation from DOJ Inspector General Michael Horowitz revealed Flynn had been unfairly targeted by the FBI. Even though the investigation pertains to the abuses of the FISA process, not the FBI and DOJ's misconduct regarding Mr. Flynn, the IG report simultaneously documents at least some of the FISA process abuses and misconduct against Mr. Flynn, Powell told the court. The IG report is replete with exculpatory evidence that had it been known to Mr. Flynn, he never would have pleaded guilty. Powell pointed to a revelation that showed the intelligence briefing the FBI gave to Trump's team in August 2016 during the presidential campaign was actually a pretext to gather evidence to help in the counterintelligence investigation into Trump's campaign. The FBI agent who led that briefing, referred to as SSA-1 in Horowitz's report, but believed to be FBI agent Joseph Pienka, was the same man who accompanied Strzok in their controversial interview of Flynn in January 2017. Van Graat argued against these claims in February. Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of the article. I'll, as usual, ask Nancy to include the links in the YouTube video when that goes up. The next article I want to refer to is actually by thefederalist.com. It was put out on the 8th of May. The title is Obama-Biden Oval Office Meeting on January 5th was key to entire anti-Trump operation. Susan Rice's bizarre Inauguration Day email about that meeting helps explain the campaign of leaks, lies, and obstruction that followed. Information released in the Justice Department's motion to dismiss the case it brought against Lieutenant General Michael Flynn confirms the significance of a January 5, 2017 meeting at the Obama White House. It was at this meeting that Obama gave guidance to key officials who would be tasked with protecting his administration's utilization of secretly funded Clinton campaign research, which alleged Trump was involved in a treasonous plot to collude with Russia, from being discovered or stopped by the incoming administration. President Obama said he wants to be sure that as we engage with the incoming team, we are mindful to ascertain if there is any reason that we cannot share information fully as it relates to Russia, National Security Advisor Susan Rice wrote in an unusual email to herself about the meeting that was also attended by Deputy Attorney General Sally Yates, FBI Director James Comey, and Vice President Joe Biden. A clearer picture is emerging of the drastic steps that were taken to accomplish Obama's goal in the following weeks and months. Shortly thereafter, high-level operatives began intensely leaking selective information supporting a supposed Russia-Trump conspiracy theory. The incoming National Security Advisor was ambushed, and the incoming Attorney General was forced to recuse himself from oversight of investigations of President Trump. At each major point in the operation, explosive media leaks were a key strategy in the operation to take down Trump. Not only was information on Russia not fully shared with the incoming Trump team, as Obama directs, the leaks and ambushes made the transition chaotic, scared quality individuals away from working in the administration, made effective governance almost impossible, and materially damaged national security. When Comey was finally fired on May 9, in part for his duplicitousness regarding his handling of the Russia collusion theory, he orchestrated the launch of a special counsel probe that continued his efforts for another 2 years. That probe ended with Mueller finding no evidence of any American colluding with Russia to steal the 2016 election, much less Trump or anyone connected to him. An analysis of the timeline from early 2017 shows a clear pattern of behavior from the federal officials running the collusion operation against the Trump campaign. It also shows how essential media leaks were to their strategy to sideline key law enforcement and intelligence officials and cripple the ability of the incoming Trump administration to run the country. And then the article goes on with a timeline of the key moments and articles of the efforts, according to Obama's direction, to prevent the Trump administration from learning about the FBI's operation against it. So it looks like there are a lot of people panicking about this dropping of the Michael Flynn case, and also of the intel that's coming out. And I'm going to be talking about the transcripts that were released shortly, which relate to Russiagate. But there's also an article at news.yahoo.com, and exclusive, Obama says in private call that rule of law is at risk in Michael Flynn case. Former President Barack Obama, talking privately to ex-members of his administration, said Friday that the rule of law is at risk in the wake of what he called an unprecedented move by the Justice Department to drop charges against former White House National Security Advisor Michael Flynn. In the same chat, a tape of which was obtained by Yahoo News, Obama also lashed out at the Trump administration's handling of the coronavirus pandemic as an absolute chaotic disaster. The quote is, "The news over the last 24 hours, I think, has been somewhat downplayed about the Justice Department dropping charges against Michael Flynn," Obama said in a web talk with members of the Obama Alumni Association. "And the fact that there is no precedent that anybody can find for someone who has been charged with perjury just getting off scot-free. That's the kind of stuff where you begin to get worried that basic, not just institutional norms, but our basic understanding of rule of law is at risk. And when you start moving in those directions, it can accelerate pretty quickly, as we've seen in other places." The Flynn case was invoked by Obama as a principal reason that his former administration officials needed to make sure former Vice President Joe Biden wins the November election against President Trump. So I'm hoping that all of you feel the same sense of urgency that I do," he said. "Whenever I campaign, I've always said, this is the most important election. Especially, obviously, when I was on the ballot, that always feels like it's the most important election. This one, I'm not on the ballot, but I'm pretty darn invested. We got to make this happen." Obama misstated the charge to which Flynn had previously pleaded guilty. He was charged with false statements to the FBI, not perjury. But the Justice Department, in a filing with a federal judge on Thursday, asked that the case brought by special counsel Robert Mueller be dismissed, arguing that FBI agents did not have a justifiable reason to question the then National Security Advisor about his conversations with Russian Ambassador Sergei Kislyak. Talks FBI agents and Mueller's prosecutors concluded he had lied about. Still, Obama's unvarnished remarks were some of the sharpest yet about the Trump administration and appeared to forecast a dramatically stepped-up political role he intends to play in this year's election. The comments came during a lengthy chat in which he also sharply criticized the response to the coronavirus pandemic, blaming it on the tribal trends that have been stoked by the president and his allies. The article continues. I'm not going to read the rest of it, but obviously, you know, Obama's panicking because there's more and more evidence pointing to all the Pfizer abuse, the way that the Flynn case was handled and so on are actually pointing to Obama knowing all about this and actually directing it. And Trump has been really calling these people out, calling them scum and traitors and so on. So all the people following this from the Q side, from the Patriot side, we're really looking forward to seeing these people be held accountable and brought to justice, which is, quite frankly, long overdue. And that leads me on to an article by Politico, dailynews.com, which was put out on the 5th of May. And the title is, Inspector General Report Proves Obama Was Neck Deep in Russian Hoax. The Inspector General report was released on Monday, and boy was it a zinger. You should all remember that it's the Durham investigation that is looking into the criminal part of the investigation, and that the Inspector General report looks into if people behave properly or improperly, and then recommends a change. From the beginning of the Russian hoax, many have wondered just how much did, at the time, President Barack Obama know? It made many even more curious after these text messages were released from Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. 9:41 a.m. Strzok to Lisa Page. Check out my 9:30 meeting on the 7th. Lisa Page to Strzok. I can tell you why you're having that meeting. It's not what you think. Strzok to Lisa Page. TPs, which mean talking points, for D, director. Lisa Page to Strzok, yes. B, POTUS wants to know everything we are doing. On page 77 of the report, it shows that by late July 2016, Obama had been briefed by another US government agency. That's in quotes. And the article says, some think the CIA. McCabe's notes from a morning meeting with Corney, which is Comey. And just as a side note, in the Inspector General's report, the Comey's name was actually changed to Corney. And it used a font that made the RN of Corney look like a letter M, which meant that if anybody searched the document for Comey, it wouldn't find it because all the references to Comey were spelt Corney. I just thought I'd throw that in case you weren't aware of that. So back to where I was. McCabe's notes from a morning meeting with Comey, and others in late July 2016 reflect that McCabe learned from Comey during the meeting that another US government agency had briefed President Obama on intelligence that agency had, suggesting that an RIS was engaged in covert actions to influence the US presidential election in favor of Trump. I think that's Russian intelligence source. McCabe told us he did not attend this White House briefing. However, based on his notes, he said he did not believe the FFG information would have been discussed during this meeting, and our review of his notes did not indicate otherwise. According to McCabe's notes of what he had been told by Comey, President Obama stated that the FBI should think about doing, in quotes, defensive briefs. The notes do not provide any further details about what Obama said regarding defensive briefings, and McCabe told us he did not recall that any further details were provided to him. However, McCabe said he surmised from his notes that the briefings under discussion were to be given to the Trump campaign. As more fully described in Chapter 10, the FBI participated in ODNI strategic intelligence briefings that were provided to members of both the Trump campaign and the Clinton campaign, including the candidates, in August and September 2016. However, those were not defensive briefings and did not address the allegations contained in the FFG information. Also, on page 177, Obama made a specific request, which ultimately led to the Steele dossier being disseminated to the Intelligence Committee. In quotes, the Intel section chief said that McCabe understood President Obama's request for the ICA to require the participating agencies to share all information relevant to Russia and the 2016 elections and the Steele election reporting qualified at a minimum due to concerns over possible Russian attempts to blackmail Trump. There you have it. Obama was neck deep in pushing the fake dossier and pushing the investigation into the Trump campaign. So now I want to move on to the release of these transcripts. And there have been 53 transcripts released. I'm looking at DNI.gov and it's got 53 HPSCI transcripts. The United States intelligence community, at the bipartisan request of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, HPSCI, reviewed 53 transcripts for classification. The IC made appropriate redactions, lowering the classification level of all 53 transcripts to unclassified. Each transcript can be accessed by clicking on the names below, and the names are in alphabetical order. And this is further ammunition against this whole Russia probe, the grounds for the impeachment, and so on and so forth. And I have another article that I wanted to share with you. And this is an article on Fox News, and the title is "Sources Say Russia Probe Transcripts Affirm Officials Came Up Empty on Collusion. Schiff is in Panic Mode." Exclusive transcripts of House Intelligence Committee interviews that have been cleared for release show top law enforcement and intelligence officials affirming they had no evidence of collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia during the 2016 election. Senior administration and intelligence community officials told Fox News on Wednesday. This would align with the results of former special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, which found no evidence of illegal or criminal coordination between President Trump, the Trump campaign, and Russia in 2016. But the numerous transcribed interviews could raise further questions about Committee Chairman Adam Schiff's past statements saying that there was direct evidence of collusion. "Schiff is in panic mode," a senior administration official told Fox News. Earlier this week, House Republicans sought over 6,000 pages of transcripts pertaining to interviews conducted by the committee in 2017 and 2018 after the panel in September 2018 voted on a bipartisan basis to approve their public release. A day later, Acting Director of National Intelligence Richard Grenell notified Schiff that the redaction and declassification process was complete and that the records were ready for release, putting the ball in Schiff's court. However, intelligence officials told Fox News on Wednesday that Schiff has had his subcommittee staff director reaching out to heads of intelligence community agencies, asking how Grenell was involved and what Grenell, a known Trump ally, may have played in the declassification and redaction process. Fox News is told, however, that the redactions were completed before Grenell took the helm as acting director this past February. The process, according to an intelligence community official, took place under both former directors Dan Coats and Joseph Maguire and was conducted by career intelligence officials. The official also told Fox News that the relevant heads of appropriate agencies were consulted on the declassifications and redactions of all 53 transcripts. Grinnell, in a letter to Schiff dated May 4th, wrote that the review of 43 of the 53 transcripts was completed in June 2019 and that the interagency review of the remaining transcripts has been completed. Grinnell added, pursuant to your guidance, these transcripts have not been shared with the White House. The remaining 10 transcripts included interviews with President Trump's eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., former advisor Steve Bannon, the president's son-in-law, and advisor Jared Kushner, Trump aide Hope Hicks, and former campaign manager Corey Lewandowski. Further, Grinnell wrote Schiff that he was willing to release the transcripts directly from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence as to ensure we comply with the unanimous and bipartisan vote to release the transcripts. It's unclear at this point when Grinnell could release the transcripts. A House Intelligence Committee spokesman told Fox News on Wednesday that the panel received Grinnell's letter on Tuesday. After more than a year of unnecessary delay, the ODNI has finally concluded its protracted classification review of the committee's transcripts, and it also appears the White House has now abandoned its improper insistence on reviewing key transcripts, which the committee appropriately rejected. We are now reviewing the proposed redactions from ODNI based on classification, law enforcement sensitivity, or items ODNI requests before official use only, the spokesman continued. Given the overtly political role now played by the acting DNI, including the leak of his letter, this committee and the public can have little confidence that his determinations are made on the merits. The spokesman added, this process has already taken far too long, most notably because the ODNI improperly held up the declassification review and release of several transcripts at the request of the White House. The spokesman also said that the committee's review of ODNI's newly proposed redactions would be as expeditious as possible given the constraints of the pandemic. He continued, we look forward to releasing these transcripts which relate to misconduct by the Trump campaign and the president himself. I'm just going to jump on a little bit here. Another source familiar with the transcripts told Fox News that the people interviewed by the House Intelligence Committee during its Russia probe were asked whether they had evidence that Trump himself or the Trump campaign conspired, colluded, or coordinated with Russia during the 2016 election. Two sources familiar with the transcripts told Fox News that not one of the 53 witnesses could provide evidence of collusion. The transcripts show a total lack of evidence, despite Schiff personally going out saying he had more than circumstantial evidence that there was collusion, one source involved in House Russia investigations told Fox News. Mueller, at the conclusion of his nearly two-year-long investigation, said he and his team found no evidence of criminal conspiracy or coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia, but did not reach a conclusion on obstruction of justice, which current Attorney General Bill Barr ultimately decided not to pursue. While law enforcement officials have long maintained that there was clear intelligence Russia meddled in the 2016 presidential election, to date there have been no charges concerning actual conspiracy against people associated with the Trump campaign, which was at the core of the Russia investigation. The Russia probe never produced charges linking the Trump campaign and Russia as part of a criminal conspiracy. So all of Adam Schiff's claims that he had evidence, conclusive evidence of collusion, are being exposed for what they were, absolute lies. I just want to go on and share another article. This is again Fox News, and it was published yesterday on the 8th of May, and it says Trump calls for dirty cops to pay big price for Russia probe after release of transcripts in Fox and Friends interview. President Trump, in an extensive interview Friday on Fox and Friends, tore into what he termed dirty politicians behind the Russia probe a day after transcripts were released showing that top Obama officials said they knew of no direct evidence of collusion involving the Trump campaign. It was a very dangerous situation, what they did, he said. These are dirty politicians and dirty cops and some horrible people, and hopefully they're going to pay a big price in the not too distant future. It was a vague but ominous warning from the commander-in-chief, considering the history of the Russia probe is being reviewed to this day by U.S. Attorney John Durham. Trump was specifically reacting to newly released transcripts of interviews from the House Intelligence Committee's Russia investigation, revealed top Obama officials acknowledged they knew of no empirical evidence of a conspiracy despite their concerns and suspicions. The officials' responses align with the results of former special counsel Robert Mueller's investigation, which found no evidence of criminal coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia in 2016, while not reaching a determination on obstruction of justice. The transcripts, which were released by House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, revealed top Obama officials were questioned over whether they had or had seen evidence of such collusion, coordination, or conspiracy, the issue that drove the FBI's initial case and later the special counsel probe. I never saw any direct empirical evidence that the Trump campaign or someone in it was plotting, conspiring with the Russians to meddle with the election, former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper testified in 2017. That's not to say that there weren't concerns about the evidence we were seeing, anecdotal evidence, but I do not recall any instance where I had direct evidence. Trump used these revelations to double down on his assertion that the entire investigation was a politically motivated hoax. Well, absolutely, I think most people knew it from the beginning, and they knew it was just a total hoax, a made-up story, a total disgrace to our nation. It made it impossible to deal with other countries, including Russia, because of what they were doing, he said. Schiff published the files, approved in late 2018 for release by the committee, after facing pressure earlier this week from Republicans to do so. Acting Director of National Intelligence Richard Grenell then notified Schiff that the redaction and declassification process was complete and that the records were ready to be made public. Schiff, though, faulted the White House for the delay, accusing them of dragging their feet on the classification review. And even as officials in those interviews said they didn't have hard evidence of collusion, conspiracy, or coordination, Schiff pointed to a variety of examples he described as, in quotes, ample evidence of the corrupt interactions between Trump associates and Russia. For instance, he cited how Trump's eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., infamously accepted an offer of supposed Russian dirt on Hillary Clinton. Schiff said in a statement, the transcripts released today richly detail evidence of the Trump campaign's efforts to invite, make use of, and cover up Russia's help in the 2016 presidential election. Special counsel Robert Mueller identified in his report similar and even more extensive evidence of improper links between individuals associated with the Trump campaign and the Russian government. A bipartisan Senate investigation also found that Russia sought to help the candidacy of Donald Trump in 2016. Trump on Friday didn't hold back in his opinion of the California Democrat. So Schiff is a crooked politician. Crooked as can be, one of the worst I've ever seen, and I've seen some beauties, he said. He's a liar, he's a terrible person, he's terrible for our country. Guys like that end up going down, he said. They're crooked and bad. The Justice Department also announced Thursday it was withdrawing its case against former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn after a considered review of all the facts and circumstances of this case, including newly discovered and disclosed information. Donald Trump actually tweets, "Yesterday was a big day for justice in the USA. Congratulations to General Flynn and many others. I do believe there is much more to come. Dirty cops and crooked politicians do not go well together." He said on Fox and Friends that there's still more to come, hinting that more files may be related both to former President Barack Obama and former Vice President Joe Biden's role. Democrats overnight slammed Bill Barr, Attorney General Bill Barr, for the DOJ decision on Flynn, even calling for a new Inspector General investigation. But Trump on Friday praised Barr as an official of unbelievable credibility and courage. Q actually predicted that the Democrats would go after Barr and accuse him of political bias. And sure enough, they quickly started to do that. Interestingly, there has been a huge amount of censorship happening in the last week. Basically, they've been sent, the social media platforms have been censoring any, well, many groups and individuals who are shown to be Q supporters, Q followers, who actually post Q-related material. I actually posted a screenshot of a Q drop and jokingly said, well, I guess this is goodbye then, meaning they'll probably take me down. So far, they haven't. But obviously, this is just showing the level of panic that's happening in the mainstream media, the social media platforms, and in the Democrat Party because of all this evidence that is being released. And as Q said in several of the drops, you can't tell people, you need to show them. So now that this evidence is coming out, that this whole impeachment and Russia Spygate process to try and get rid of Trump is actually blowing up in their faces and is being proven to have been really fabricated. And the fact that all these people that were questioned about it, and none of them could actually say categorically that they'd seen any evidence of collusion, makes the whole thing fall apart. And I'm sure that there are going to be many, many more people waking up to the fact that this was definitely an attempted coup against a sitting president. And I think those of us who have been getting impatient, not seeing justice being done, I'm certainly hoping that we're going to see indictments start to come out to bring the people that have been behind all of this to justice. So let's keep our fingers crossed that in the next couple of weeks, we're going to be seeing that happen. Certainly, the Trump team are stepping up in terms of their attacks on these people, as I said at the beginning of the show. And I said last week, Trump is calling these people traitors. He's saying this is treason in an attempt to take down a sitting president. And treason needs to be punished. Otherwise, as Trump says, it should never happen to another president. So I'm really looking forward to seeing these people held accountable for what they've done. And now the evidence is absolutely undeniable. So I'm just going to finish with one of Q's most recent drops, actually from today, It's number 4172. Dee's time delivery of impeachment articles to draw attention away from the first US COVID-19 infection. And I've covered this again on previous shows. It's a link to a foxbusiness.com article about the China trade deal. And Key says dates are important. January 15, 2020, historic trade deal with China signed. China loses billions in clawback, in square brackets, held, timed. Impeachment articles are delivered to Senate. And of course, Nancy Pelosi was in such a hurry before Christmas last year, but then she sat on the impeachment articles for 2 weeks. First case of COVID-19 lands in United States, Seattle-Tacoma International Airport. Do the Chinese like losing? Do the Chinese want POTUS removed, replaced? P-election 2020, president election. Do the Chinese want Biden installed? P-elect 2020, of course, presidential election 2020. Is this about the virus or the election? Question mark. Q. And this is referring to how this was coordinated, this timing of the release of the impeachment articles. And also Q has put several drops in, I think today actually, that says, is this about the virus or the election? And this virus is being used to try to rig the results of the 2020 election. So I think that's about all I've got time for today. It's been a great pleasure to be with you again and to share this information. I'm really excited that so much is now coming out. I do believe that this is the start of D5, you know, the avalanche that Q refers to, D5 being the, you know, the most powerful avalanche. I think we are going to see an avalanche of information. I think we're going to see the plan roll out and these deep state players basically being taken down. The evidence is undeniable that they have been plotting against the president, against President Trump, who is draining the swamp. And in fact, Trump did tweet out this week in capitals, "Drain the swamp." And he's obviously in the process of doing that. So I hope you've enjoyed today's show. I hope you'll join me next week for more updates on the latest news. And keep the faith and trust the plan. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, on YouTube and Facebook. And I'd like to thank Nancy for producing, as usual, and for being on Cosmic Reality Radio. Thank you so much, and I hope you'll be with me next week.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Creating Radio Show with Jan Shaw, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Live long and prosper.